The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Have you been following the case of Lucy Letby, the worst serial killer of children in British history, convicted of murdering seven babies who were in her care at a UK hospital, as well as the attempted murder of eight other babies? Now, there's a couple of reasons we're bringing it up today. One is that a public inquiry into the circumstances surrounding her crimes, which was set up by the British government last year following her conviction, will begin hearings at Liverpool's Town Hall tomorrow. But in addition to that, there's now been a considerable amount of journalism done, been picked up by people online as well, suggesting that there are doubts about the safety of her conviction. Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio, joins us. Nick, thank you for joining us. What can you tell us about this campaign that seems to be developing some momentum to suggest that there may have been a miscarriage of justice?
Evening to you. Brought into sharp focus, as you rightly say, because the Thirlwell inquiry, which you'll go into, and I won't go through all the number of deaths again, that starts tomorrow. And it is thought that Letby's legal team are looking to lodge some kind of appeal prior to Christmas. What's fueling it? A couple of things. Firstly, some of the most compelling evidence was evidence that showed that the pass that she used to gain access to various parts of the hospital where drugs were administered, sometimes the insulin was over-prescribed and used. Actually, the legitimacy of whether the pass mechanism working, and I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar that they have to show passes to get into certain parts of their offices or shops or whatever it might be, the legitimacy of that machine recording is now being brought into question as to whether that can actually be relied upon. There are also now questions. But again, in court, they were told that Letby had interfered with the drugs, the bags of insulin that were given to the children. Journalists have investigated that, and they're saying that in some instances, there was no interference. So was the insulin in some way faulty? Was it badly prescribed? Was it the fault of the drug itself rather than the person who administered it? So those are the two sort of key things that come forward. And then there are others that speak to it. There's one other a fascinating one where when she was receiving counselling, she was urged by a counsellor to come to terms with what she was going through prior to conviction, so when she was still awaiting trial, to help her with her inner demons. She was suggested she would write things such as, "I am evil and I did this." This was presented into the court, but the caveat I just gave you, which was it was said by a counsellor to maybe help her, the court was not told that. So that, again, is fairly compelling that the young woman is writing, I am evil, I did this. She'd actually been prompted to write that by a counsellor.
Okay, but I suppose you could imagine she might have said, you know, I feel responsible if children under her care had died and she wasn't responsible. It's a bit different to say, I am evil. But look, the point, I suppose, in all of this, Nick, is the jury sat for how many? It was 9 months this trial went on for. The jury heard all of the evidence, unlike people who are now going in and cherry-picking bits and pieces, and came to a conclusion after listening to every bit of evidence, and indeed, in some cases, actually didn't reach a verdict because they didn't feel they could do so.
Look, I think it's important to get what the government is saying. We have the health secretary, I stress not the justice secretary, he's the first sort of government official to come forward, and he was very plain, funnily enough, on the radio station I work on at LBC, and he said, this woman is a convicted criminal of the highest order and has to be treated like this. You've rightly referred to just how long the jurors, and let's just spare a thought for them for a moment, what they had to endure. But what we also need to tell you is that followed a police investigation of around 2 years. So it's not as if this was rushed before the court. It was carefully prepared. It was a lengthy trial. But campaigners are obviously going to hold on to whatever they can. One thing I need to tell you, Sir David Davis, the veteran Conservative MP, some of your listeners might remember him years ago, he was the Brexit secretary. He's actually said he's prepared to go and visit her in a jail in Surrey because he wants to get to the bottom of it. Look, I've known David Davis, goodness me, for probably decades. Let's be candid. He's not averse to a bit of publicity, but he's not a stupid man. So if he's thinking, as a former cabinet minister, for goodness sake, and contender for leader of the Conservative Party, which might preclude him in the views of some of your listeners, but he's been around long enough that there's something that's triggered his interest.
Yeah, well, I would also say he wasn't a brilliant man on detail when it came to Brexit, so I'm not sure I necessarily trust his judgment in relation to a complicated murder trial.
I'm beginning to think I've probably laid out poor evidence for the defence there, but he is at least a veteran campaigner. But as I say, the government is saying there's nothing to this. The Thirlwell inquiry, which starts tomorrow, and unfortunately, as with all British inquiries, it will last for months and months and months. But I watch this space. I would imagine her legal team will be laying an appeal this side of Christmas.
Because, well, there's a couple of things that jumps out. Even just in our news headlines, there, a reference was made to returning to the trial of the Guildford Four back in the 1970s. Yep. And Irish people to remember also remember the wrongful convictions of the Birmingham Six, because it is the case at times, in an eagerness to get a conviction, sometimes prosecutions may lay a partial case or make an emotional case rather than an evidential one to secure a conviction to appease the public.
I think you rightly point cases like the Birmingham Six were very, very dark days for British justice. And I put that word in single quotes because there was no justice. And that obviously is indefensible. I just come back to, obviously, I followed this trial. I'm aware of how long the trial went on. I'm aware of the police investigation. I'm aware of the robustness, of course, or the soundness of a original conviction. So, yes, I would hope British law has come on a long, long way since those dark days of the fitting up of those people in Birmingham. But we remain to see.
OK, there's a couple of other things that strike me in relation to that, and that is the parents of these babies who died, because they've gone through the trauma of their children dying. They then discovered that there was a suspicion that these children may have been murdered. They then were charges brought, and jury decided that, yes, indeed, this woman was guilty of killing these defenceless little babies. And now they're discovering that there's a campaign been run in certain quarters and certain newspapers to suggest that they weren't actually killed deliberately at all and that this woman was not responsible. So it's obviously a very difficult time for people who, I think, in many cases are trying to protect their anonymity as well.
The babies can only be known, or the parents of the ones we can talk about, only known as baby E and baby F. They've given an interview with the Sunday Times and they say, and I quote, "This whole traumatic experience made us question humanity. Why are people going out of their way to support a serial killer of babies? It's infuriating to hear some people say, I just have a feeling she hasn't done anything. We've seen the comments circulating on social media and in the mainstream. They're both hurtful and distasteful."
There's another listener offers a comment. Jurors and the general public really shouldn't be making decisions on things they don't understand, which is a bit of a jump, but I suppose that's the nature of justice, whether it be murder trials or whether it be white-collar crime or various other things.
The idea there is, of course, we're judged by our peers. There has been the call in the past for so-called professional jurors, who are people who may be retired solicitors, possibly former police officers. But currently the system here is, sorry, I know this is sexist, but you're judged by 12 good men and true. You're judged by your peers, and that is what all Trump... But I hear what your correspondent is saying. You know, there are grounds, and goodness knows, if this is an insecure, I'm so sorry, if this is an insecure conviction, then the point your correspondent's made will just get even stronger.
Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.